The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
And we're back. Game day for the San Jose Sharks. It is game number 6 of the year. They are in New York, game 1 of a 4-game road trip, 3 of which are in the New York metropolitan area. Tonight against the Islanders, Thursday against the Rangers, Friday at the Devils, and then Sunday in Minnesota taking on the Wild before they come home to host the Kings and then the Devils, followed by the Avs and then the Red Wings going back out on the road for one quick one at Seattle, home for two against Winnipeg and Florida, and then they go out on the road again at Minnesota, at Calgary, at Seattle. But hey, you don't need to hear me talk about the schedule all day. I guess I'm just trying to point out that, guys, it comes hot and heavy this year. They are going to be very, very busy. Obviously, compressed schedule, dealing with the Olympic break and all that that entails. Back-to-backs, heavy schedule, young players. I know some people have thought to themselves, well, you know, why aren't we seeing more of Michael Meeser? Why did they wait, you know, a couple games in to let Dickinson get his debut? You know what? Let them ease their way into it, because the way this schedule is going to hit, you're going to want them to be fresh and ready. And I also think that we're watching it already work. I know that some people have been, you know, talking about other rookies and not talking as much about Misa and Zay Dickinson. But you know what? I think you've got to just look at it in the sense of, when we talk about some of these other young players around the league, they're probably surrounded by a little bit higher level of overall talent. And I also think that where the Sharks are right now, they're still trying to collectively work their way out of it as a group. It's not a lot of just individuals trying to do and show great moments. It's working on it as a group, which actually I find very encouraging, because I have not seen a whole lot of hero hockey this year, except for the one time against Anaheim when Macklin Celebrini tried to put it all on himself and it turned into a turnover, which ended the game after they went the other direction and scored, did Anaheim. So, you know, right now I think it's just a matter of letting the Sharks work their way out of this. Don't worry too much about Misa. Don't worry too much about Dickinson. And I actually have liked what I have seen from Dickinson and the growth that he's shown over a couple of games. Michael Misa, he's got a couple of games under his belt. I would not be surprised if he scores tonight. And very much in the way that we're looking at this game, Celebrini, Smith, Misa, Dickinson, Schaefer, these are guys that we're going to be talking about for a while in the NHL. And I've heard some headlines say that it's the number one Schaefer versus the number two Misa. No, that's one storyline. Or last year's number one Celebrini and this year's number one Schaefer. No, that's not the game. That's a cute storyline that'll get people intrigued, which is always a good thing. But this game is about two teams that are trying to figure it out. The Islanders, more of a retool for them that maybe got accelerated with the acquisition of Schaefer and unexpectedly getting the number one overall pick. And then when I look at the Sharks, obviously a team that's trying to work their way out of the difficult time and find themselves in a situation where they can get that first win of the year. And then, like I talked about the other day, just a little bit of momentum. You just got to get things rolling and it becomes that much easier, but it's that first rotation, right? So first getting that wheel to turn to where you can get things, the rust broken up, any sort of carbon deposits that's, you know, hampering your ability to turn the wheel. That's the difficulty right now for San Jose, but I remain confident that they will be able to work their way out of it. For the Sharks, thanks to our good friend Sheng Pang of San Jose Hockey Now and NBC Sports California, he was at Morning Skate this morning talking about the lines. Top line, the sleepover line, Toffoli, Celebrini, Smith, love to see it. Second line, Eklund, Wenberg, Skinner, that's a potent line as well. Third line, Graf, Misa, Gaudette. Fourth line, Goodrow, Delandria, Reeves. The defensive pairings, Orlov, Ferrario, Letty, Iorio, and Dickinson, Desharnais. And it looks like it is going to be Yaroslav Askarov in net for San Jose. And I hope that for Askarov's sake that he can bounce back and have a really good performance. I thought that in his second appearance of the year, he did make some good saves. He just didn't have his best night overall. So you would hope that that trends in the right direction to where what we saw against Utah at moments where he's getting peppered with shots can turn into something a little bit more continuous from the start of the game to the end of the game. But it's early. They're all figuring it out. I'm not panicking over anything yet. But to learn more about tonight's opponent, let's bring in Andrew Gross, who covers the Islanders for Newsday. Andrew, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Hey, Ted, it's great to talk to you. Thanks so much for having me. And, you know, as I've been telling people, just happy hockey season's going again.
Oh, man, it is phenomenal. I don't know about you, but when the season comes to a close, there's always kind of a point where I ask myself, what do I usually do on a weeknight if there's not hockey going on? Because I just kind of get cut adrift. And so I just kind of wander about. Do you get that too?
Yeah. I wind up usually watching way too much Rick and Morty at that point and just feeling like I have no purpose in my life.
That's fair. We're all in the same boat in that regard. But, you know, with the youth movement that happens in the NHL more and more often after every draft these days, you've been given a lot to write about with Mr. Schaefer being the unexpected number one overall pick going to the Islanders. So let me ask you, just broadly speaking, this is a team that, you know, in very recent history was one of the top teams in the league, unquestionably was right there on the cusp. And then they got into that retool phase where no one really knew what exactly the directive was going to be, but they thought maybe they were just a little bit on the outside looking in. But then this elite talent joins the team. How much did that change the timeline of where this franchise thought they were?
Yeah, no, that's a good question, because they were sort of, you know, well, obviously they didn't like where they were, and that's why they moved on from Lou Lamoriello after seven seasons, and they hired, you know, a much younger Matthew Darche, who had been the assistant GM with the Tampa Bay Lightning, comes from a winning pedigree there. And he's, you know, he's, I don't want to say the antithesis of Lou, because they have many of the same core values. He just goes about it a different way. There's an openness to the organization now. So between bringing in Darche and sort of rebranding who they were to their fan base in terms of access and how the players were going to be marketed, like you said, you go into the draft lottery with a 3.5% chance of winning it, and Matthew Schaefer drops into your lap. And, you know, he's been probably more than anyone could have hoped for. I mean, his skating, you have to be in the building to really, you know, I can't adequately describe how good a skater he is. You have to see it live. But it's more than that. It's his poise. It's his maturity. It's his on-ice vision. You see him in the room and he's, you know, he's an 18-year-old kid, you know, and most of the Islanders are older guys. You know, they all have families. They all have kids. They're in a different point in their life. And Matthew Schaefer in the room doesn't seem like an 18-year-old kid. It seems like he's been in there for a few seasons. It's a very strange phenomenon in a way. And, you know, everyone knows the Matthew Schaefer story by now. You know, his mother sadly passes away, Jennifer, because of breast cancer, right? And he also, you know, his billet mom passes away. The owner of his junior team passes away. And it has not weakened him one bit. He's using all of this. And his maturity is really incredible. I mean, you and I remember what we were like at 18. And I'm telling you, it's not what Matthew Schaefer is like at 18.
No, and that's the thing, is that when I look at, you know, Connor Bedard a couple years ago, you know, he, for a young guy, way too much spotlight, but he handled it, I thought, very, very well, beyond how any normal person at 18. Last year, Macklin Celebrini, the exact same way that you speak of Matthew Schaefer. And then, you know, this year we see with Schaefer, and then also with Michael Misa, the number two overall pick, who's here in San Jose. I am a little bit stunned at the maturity level of these kids. And I know they're legal adults, but I think saying kid is appropriate, because I certainly remember what I was like at that age. But they've been well prepared for it, about as well as you can, because I don't think that any prospect, maybe they get the attention, maybe they're the podcasts are talking about them, social media, but it is different when suddenly you are in the NHL arena, the top league in the world. The microscope that's on all these, again, kids, is like nothing they've ever experienced.
No, absolutely not. And like you said, they have been well prepared. I mean, I go back and I think, a guy like Connor McDavid or even, a Sidney Crosby or Wayne Gretzky, when they came into the league, they had been recognized, their talent had been recognized as young as what, like 9, 10, 11 years old. People knew they were going to be really, really good, and they were used to the spotlight. And Schaefer took a little bit of a different path. He didn't play much last season because he broke his collarbone playing for Team Canada. So he only played 17 games as a junior, and I think that's why, going into the draft, certainly going into the scouting combine, it was like, yeah, he could be the number one pick, or it could be Misa. I remember there was some speculation as to who the Islanders would pick, but as soon as that scouting combine came and went with the way he interviewed and the way he tested, and then you add that to the skating ability that is just so readily apparent. He quickly became a consensus number one pick, and I think if he had played more than 17 games last season, it wouldn't have even been any sort of a question. And I know the Islanders are thrilled with their pick, just as the Sharks did very well with Michael Mesa. I had a nice chat with him this morning after the Sharks' morning skate. A little more reserved, not as talkative as Schaefer, but he's a heck of a talent too. And you pair that with Smith and Celebrini and Dickinson, you gotta love where the future of the Sharks is going.
It should be fun. I gotta riff on the combine real quick though, because I always think it's so funny the when they did that last year, they were showing all the players. It was just this high tech, everything's being analyzed, and these guys were being put through the paces, except for the broad jump. They were having them do that, and then they were using a hockey stick to measure how far they jumped out. It's like the juxtaposition of the high tech and then the hockey stick used to measure the broad jump was maybe my favorite part of that entire event. But I mean, there's a headline on NHL.com today that says something to the effect of, Celebrini versus Schaefer, where I've seen other tweets that are Misa versus Schaefer, the one and two. And I'm just more looking at this at the sense of like, no, guys, this isn't, I know it's a game in and of itself, but we're probably watching the future stars of the NHL. I mean, these are the names that we're going to be talking about. And I think to me, that's the bigger story as opposed to, last year's number one versus this year's number one, or this year's number one versus this year's number two. It's just, no, guys, just like take it in now. Because the access is probably going to be a lot harder in about 5 years anyway.
I mean, to me, I mean, like I said, I was at the Sharks morning skate. The guy, I spent some time at his locker was the former Islander Nick Leddy. Always enjoy catching up with Leds, and it struck me that for most of Leddy's time here, he wasn't Matthew Schaefer, but his skating, was easily, he was the best skating, Islander defenseman of that era, at least until Devon Taves got here. And so I was interested to get Nick Leddy's take on what he's seen from Schaefer as well. And Leddy actually had a interesting, he went out to, Matt Martin, his old teammate. He had dinner at Matt Martin's house along with another former Islander, Josh Bailey, last night. And of course, Matthew Schaefer has moved in with the Martins for this season. Which is something that, Islander, it happens across the league. A rookie will move in with a veteran, right? Matthew Barzal moved in. I think he was living with Dennis Seidenberg, I think. But anyway, so Leddy's at this dinner with at Matt Martin's house, and the Martins have four kids, and Matt Martin's wife Sydney was joking around with us, like, what am I going to do with five kids now? And I wasn't quite sure if Leddy meant she meant her husband or she meant Matthew Schaefer, because Leddy just said Matt. And I was like, it could go either way there.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. I mean, Misa is living with the Toffolis out here, Celebrini with Thornton, Will with the Marleau family. And I mean, it's fun. It also just, when you get that reminder of these kids, they're, not only are they, just being in their rookie season, it's also their first time stepping out alone into the big world. So it is cool to watch that aspect of the hockey world come together. What is your expectation now for this team with the Islanders? And, you know, they have a lot of high-end talent on the team. And I look at, you know, a netminder like Sorokin, and I see, you know, a lot of talent. But I have to temper that by saying, like, I don't know what the expectation is. I just see it from the outside. I see talent. I see capability. But I also know that the timing isn't quite the same. So what is the expectation this year? Is it just to get back into the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's obviously the ground point, right? They were all disappointed with how last season went, but, you know, obviously Schaefer has improved the team. Schaefer is already, you know, their best defenseman, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. He's 18 and it's 5 games into his career, but that sort of says something where the rest of the team is at, right? Look, I think the Islanders, they can make the playoffs. They, you know, Bo Horvat has 4 goals now in 5 games, and you'd like that kind of production from him. And they bring in Jonathan Drouin, who's a solid professional top 6 wing, and Anthony Duclair, who I guess he spent some time in San Jose along with every other NHL team that he's played for, right? He's healthy. He was skating on one leg last season. It was apparent. You've never seen a slow Anthony Duclair. And last year he was a slow, laborious skater. And this season he's moving again, right? So he's back in the top 6. I think the Islanders, you know, looking at the Metropolitan Division, right? I think you take the Hurricanes and the Devils and you place them aside, because those are two, you know, those are the two elite teams in this division, and nothing's going to change that the way these guys are playing, barring, you know, tremendous injuries to both rosters. And then you take the other 6 teams, and I think the Islanders are as good or as bad as any of the other 6 teams. It could go either way. It's you know, if Sorokin has a great season, they're obviously going to have a much better chance. But Ilya's given up 4 goals in each of his first 4 starts, which is not promising. You know, if he's good, if the Islanders don't have injuries, if Bo Horvat keeps scoring, if Matthew Barzal starts scoring a little bit more, they can be a playoff team. And like every other team in the Metro, they could also miss the playoffs.
Andrew, great stuff as always. You've been very generous with your time. I appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight, and we will talk soon, all right?
All right, Ted, anytime. Take care of yourself.
Again, that was Andrew Gross of Newsday, a great writer and one of the all-around nice dudes in the NHL. And I say that, but I have to make note, almost everyone in the NHL is nice. I got to say, it's very rare that you run into people that you do not specifically like. But for the Sharks tonight, I think, you know, there's a couple things. Get out to a strong start. They were being outshot by the Pens on Saturday night early on, but I thought that their start was certainly significantly better than what we saw in the previous game against Utah. I also think that they just need to keep things positive out there on the ice. There's been a little bit of shoulder slumping out there, and I understand when you're 0-5 to start the year, or when you've got two painful losses at the start of the year like they did to both Vegas and Anaheim, that can have a little bit of a hangover effect as well. But just brush it off and focus on the next moment. If you give up a goal, brush it off, focus on the next moment. Stick to the game plan. Keep your feet moving, especially on defense. You can't have guys standing around. You need to have better rebound control from Yaroslav Askarov. You need to have better defensive commitments and guys sticking to their assignments and not getting a little bit lost or, you know, just puck watching. You need to make sure that you take care of the puck. Don't get caught chucking it around, as we've heard from head coach Ryan Warsawski. And I think that one of the things that's been lacking is you need to have a little bit of that fun out there. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why Ryan Warsawski is saying, you know what, put the sleepover line out there back together. See if those guys who created a lot of fun moments last year, see if they can have some fun together in this game and see if that mojo starts working for San Jose as they go up against an Islanders team with Matthew Schaefer, who looks every bit the player that he was hyped up to be, and a lot of other high-level talent as well that's going to allow them to have a very, very interesting and playoff challenging season, to where, I mean, they'll challenge for the playoffs. This is a good team, that has a lot of ability, which is still early in their retool. All right, we're out of time. Big thanks to Andrew Gross and Newsday for hanging out and chatting with us about tonight's game for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.
Drop pass, Celebrini still out there. Shoot, score! Macklin Celebrini rips one home. That's his first of the year. It goes up top. It's a power play goal, and the Sharks make it 6-3.